Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The parable of the prodigal son has inspired many books. We can be sure that the father who waited for his son was a praying parent. Nothing else would have brought the son home. Today, more lessons we can take with us as we too seek to be praying parents. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer comes again to speak on the power of praying parents.
Sometimes sin has to run its course, and people have to learn by experience that the way of the transgressor is hard. Next, what you have to say is, Lord, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait to welcome him home. And I mean both of those words. I'm going to wait, and it may take years. And when he's ready to come home, I will be here to welcome him because I love him and I intercede for him. And I'll always be there for that child. Never, when he comes home, will he find the door closed in his face because he's humiliated us. No, you're always welcome back, and I'll wait for you to return. Now, I can't speak and preach on the power of praying parents without making a reference to my own parents. One day when Rebecca and I had just been married a few years, she said, I want you to sit down. I have some news for you. And she said, I just got a phone call from Canada that your dad has cancer. All right, so dad has cancer, so he's not going to probably live until their 50th anniversary. So the kids get together and they have a 45th anniversary. Because dad ain't going to live to number 50. Well, what happened was he went to church, the elders anointed him with oil, and somehow, for some strange reason, this tumor disappeared. The doctor said, I don't know, it's not here, but come back every year to have it checked out. Now, so after having a 45th, we had a 50th. And then for 55, we just took them out for dinner, but we had a big 60th. And then we had a 65th. And then we pulled out all the stops for a 70th. And they lived 7 years beyond that. My father did. 77 years they lived together. But here's the deal. At their 70th, I'm sitting beside my mother. Everybody's there. They've come from all parts of the country. And I said, Mother, do you know the names of all of your great-grandchildren? I didn't know who in the world all these kids belonged to. And really, I'll never forget her response. She went like this with her hand. Oh, yeah. She said, I have a prayer list, and I mention them to our Heavenly Father every day. When Mother died at the age of 103, a day after her death, we found her prayer list. We took the prayer list, and we photocopied it, and we sent it to all of the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. She had on her list 121 people. Also, missionaries were on that list. Because we wanted the grandchildren to see that when they were born in her own handwriting, she added it to the list. We wanted to see, you are on Grandma's prayer list. I believe that my own life and ministry today is largely a result of praying parents. Now, I have to say, since then, Rebecca, my dear wife, has become a great prayer warrior, of course. And I also have to confess, in all honesty, that she prays more earnestly in intercession for our grandchildren than I do, though I do pray for our grandchildren every week, cycling them through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But what is it that Mother used to pray? She spoke English, but she used to pray in German, and I still hear her prayers. I know exactly what she prayed. Because she would pray this, and I suppose I've heard something like this 100 times. She would say, Oh, Lord, give my children, and then she often named them, a hunger and thirst, but not after bread and water, May they thirst for you, and may they thirst for righteousness, she used to pour out her heart praying. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then she'd always include this, which we as kids, oh, she'd say, may they flee from sin like one might flee from a serpent, she used to pray. And so my dear mother went to her grave praying for 121 people, perhaps not every day in her final closing months and years, but there it is. Praying parents have tremendous power. Now, I have to say, we weren't the perfect family that everybody thought we were. We had people fooled just like you have some people fooled too, all right? But maybe that's why both of my sisters were missionaries, one in Africa, the other in Mexico, each 30 years. Brothers who walk with God, praying parents. I'm going to encourage you today by a story that comes 1,600 years ago. There was a woman by the name of Monica. Monica was in an arranged marriage. She was a fervent Christian, but she married an unbeliever. She had three sons, three children. Two walked with God, one didn't. One ran off, lived immorally with a mistress, and loved the sinful lifestyle of sexuality. Monica used to pray for her wayward son. She used to weep for her wayward son. One day she went to her bishop, and her bishop said this, very famous words in church history. Don't you wish you'd say something that people would still be quoting 1,600 years from now? The bishop said, it is not possible that a son of so many tears would perish. Your son will be saved. A few years before she died, her son was saved. Apparently, her husband was also before he died. What she didn't know, and I always like this, what we don't know. She didn't know that she had a son who would be so famous in church history that actually he would have more impact on Christianity than any man who ever lived, apart from Jesus and Paul, maybe John the Apostle. His name was Augustine, sometimes pronounced Augustine. I could talk about him and his impact, some of it good, some of it we would say wasn't good, but his influence, huge, huge, as an apologist for the Christian faith. And what happened was, you probably heard me tell the story, he was in a garden and he overheard some kids playing, and one seemed to be saying, take up and read, take up and read. So Augustine turns to this passage. I hadn't planned to read it, but since I have a Bible here, I can. It says, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And here he was, deeply into desires and sexuality. He was so smitten with conviction, he was converted. Because it was not possible that a son of so many tears would perish. Later on, when Augustine wrote his famous book, The Confessions, which everyone should read, he talked about his struggle with sin. But in it, he said, my mother watered the earth with her tears. The power of a praying parent. Whether it's a Canaanite woman of 2,000 years ago, Monica 1,600 years ago, or your life and my life, God is waiting for faith to put a stake in the ground saying, Satan, you will not have my child. I insist upon this, and I will not stop praying and seeking. I will not be discounted and discouraged. And Jesus will say, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Let it be to thee as you will. And if you will, let us pray. Father, I stand here today giving gratitude to you for my own parents that prayed so fervently for us. And then I think of the many who perhaps don't have parents like that, but they can be moms and dads and grandparents who do intercede for their children. Lord, as the months and years go by, may we never be discouraged, but may we continue to intercede and say, Lord, we insist. Our child is yours. Bring them back home. Meanwhile, Lord, there are many prodigals listening to this message right now. I pray that they may turn to Christ. I pray that they might come to Father and home and to say, oh God, we have rebelled. And now before I close this prayer, could we have a moment and you talk to God? Would you pray for your prodigal? Would you pray for a prodigal if you don't have one? Would you pray, people, I'm speaking to you. And if you've never received Christ or you're a prodigal, tell God what he's spoken to you about today. Father, we pray today that people may get alone with you in a bedroom, outside, somewhere, and spill out their hearts for their families, for their children, for their relatives, for this church, for all of us. And may we, to the point of tears, seek your face that we might hear, oh, let it be to you as you desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, my friend, you've just heard the conclusion of a message I preached here at the Moody Church entitled The Power of Praying Parents. And in a moment, I want to pray for all the parents who are listening to this broadcast, as well as to the prodigals who might have tuned in. We'll pray for you in just a moment. But I want to remind you that this message is part of a larger series entitled Fighting for Your Family, where I deal with all kinds of issues that our families face today, including entertainment, including the whole matter of abuse and other issues of finances and what have you. What I try to do is to speak to those pressure points that people are facing today so that they might receive help and encouragement and direction from God's holy word. But now I'm going to pray. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for all those parents who perhaps have given up on prayer. Make them as insistent as the Canaanite woman. Make them as insistent as Monica, who watered the earth with her tears. And may we see the reconciliation of children to their parents, and most of all, to see that reconciliation that they have with you. May we never, never give up. And for the prodigals who might have tuned in today. Perhaps they tuned into this broadcast through your divine providence. They needed to hear what was said. Today we pray that you might soften their hearts to the gospel. And I ask, Lord, that they might recognize that they are personally accountable to you for what they have done. And therefore, Father, may they return home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Pastor Lutzer. Today we wrapped up The Power of Praying Parents, another message in a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, keeping your marriage together. Don't miss Playing for Keeps. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about fighting for your family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.